Christ Eternal Christian Church, which is an internet web-based church. The translation that's used in the tape is the Old King James Version, and we highly recommend that you have your Bible with you as you listen to this tape, and be ready to use your pause button, and as each scripture is mentioned, we ask that you would look it up in your Bible and read it in context to see if the things that are discussed are not so. The original person that received this tape also was mailed a series of charts and illustrations that go along with the presentation. If for some reason those charts were not passed on to you, please feel free to email us at the email address on the outside of the cassette tape, and we'd be pleased to mail a set of these to you to help you in your study.
On this particular side of the tape, what I'll be addressing are some specific scriptures that have already been fulfilled, and in particular in the first century AD. More specific, in AD 70, many of these scriptures came to culmination. These prophecies were fulfilled. I'd like to start out with drawing or figure number 27. Figure 27 is entitled Some Scriptures That Are Fulfilled with the Destruction of Jerusalem. And the scripture at the top of the sheet is taken from Matthew 24, verse 2. This is a quotation from Jesus as he was looking at the temple. He made the following statement: "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, we have historical proof that this in fact took place. Titus burned the temple down in August of AD 70. More specific, it was the Roman soldiers who burned the temple down, not Titus specifically. In fact, our understanding is that Titus did not intend to burn the temple down, but to preserve it as a religious artifact. But a group of Roman soldiers got out of hand, and they, in fact, were the ones that instigated the firing of the temple and the burning of it to the ground. Now, we know this to be a fact because Josephus, the Jewish historian, in his book, The War of Jews, Book 6, Chapters 4 through 5, makes that specific statement. Josephus also says that over the next 3 years, the temple stones were dismantled and leveled to the ground, after which the area was plowed over. This is found in the same War of the Jews, Book 7, Chapter 1. The reason for the leveling of the stones or the dismantling of the stones was not just to fulfill the prophecy, but also it served a third-dimensional purpose for the Roman soldiers, in that the temple itself had much gold in it. And during the fire, it's theorized that the gold that melted flowed down between the stones, and the Romans pulled the stones apart to retrieve that gold. Titus forced his way into the city of Jerusalem, breaking through the three north walls in August of AD 70, and his army burned the temple, eventually leveling it. The last statement on that particular figure 27 is a quotation from the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible on page 486. Moving on to figure 28, we want to address another prophecy in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. In those verses, we see Jesus again answering a question. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There are a number of fulfillments of this particular prophecy. In AD 36, there is historical proof that under the procuratorship of Pontius Pilate, one such false Christ appeared in Samaria and deluded great multitudes. In AD 45, another appeared under the procuratorship of Cuspis Fatus. And during the government of Felix, which would be the era of AD 53 through 60, Josephus tells us that the country was full of robbers, magicians, false prophets, and impostors who deluded the people with promises of great events. This quotation comes from the Antiquities of the Jews, Book 20, Chapter 8, Paragraphs 5 and 6. Another prophecy is found in Matthew 24, verse 6, on figure 29. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these must come to pass, but the end is not yet." During the period of AD 60 through 69, skirmishes between the Jews and the Romans broke out. Many false Christs appeared among the Jews, and there were wars and rumors of wars rampant. Figure 30. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, as we read this verse, carefully note the wording of it. It says, "this gospel of the kingdom." It's being very specific that it shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Notice the all-encompassing tone of that verse. And then it says, "the end shall come." Now, what's being referred here can be seen more clearly in Mark 16:15. In that particular verse, Jesus again is being quoted, "and he said unto them," the "he" there naturally being Jesus, and the "them," you can find out who they are by looking in verse 14 above, where it says, "afterward he appeared unto the 11." And what did he tell the 11? "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, I think what's interesting about that verse and about this particular phase of the study is that we still hear today that this prophecy has not been fulfilled, and it is used as an impetus for missionary giving and also for volunteerism in missionary work. But I think when we're finished with reading a few of the scriptures here, you're going to find that that's an improper use of that particular verse. Because as we're going to see shortly, this prophecy has already been fulfilled. Now, by my making that statement, I hope you realize that millions of people have been born and brought into the world and have a need to hear the gospel. So there is a continuing need. But to use that particular verse and say we need to fulfill that particular prophecy, I think you're going to find is an empty drum. Now let's look at some of the ways that this prophecy in the scriptures has already been indicated to having been fulfilled. In a hyperbolic way, and in the context of the Jewish worldview, every nation under heaven was present on the day of Pentecost. And we know that by looking in Acts chapter 2, verse 25. I think I said 25, it's actually verse 5. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. So we can see that on the day of Pentecost, present there in Jerusalem were Jews from every nation of the world. Now that in itself may be something that isn't that strong in convincing you of what it is that I'm saying. But let's look at some of these additional verses. The Apostle Paul stated that the gospel was producing fruit and growing in all the world. Colossians 1:6. And read that verse. Verse 6, which is come unto you. Now what is come unto you? Check back to the latter part of verse 5 above. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we're talking about the gospel. Continuing in verse 6, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So here the Apostle Paul is saying that the gospel is at work in all the world. Paul further states that the gospel had been preached to every creature which is under heaven. And that is found in that same chapter, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Notice the phrase in there, the gospel, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. There's a past tense involved in that. Paul also reported that the faith of the church at Rome was being spoken about throughout the whole world. This would be found in Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And again in Romans chapter 10, verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Now, what are we talking about here? What is it that they haven't they heard? And that is the gospel. If you look at verse 15, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Romans 16:26. But now is made manifest the gospel. See verse 25. talking about the gospel. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The next scripture on figure 30 comes from Acts 24:15. Paul himself is being spoken about here. It says, "For we have found this man, Paul," see verse 1, "a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Now, all of these books that we've cited these verses from, Matthew, Acts, Colossians, and Romans, they were all written a few years prior to 70 AD. And from these scriptures, we can see that prior to 70 AD, the gospel had been taken to the world, as it was known in those days. So that scripture, Matthew 24:14, as commanded by Christ, has been fulfilled and is documented in the scriptures themselves. Let's move on to figure 31. The verses we'd like to look at here are Matthew 24:15 through 21. And I think we should read that entire section in our Bibles. "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now there we have a very powerful statement from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's quoting from the book of Daniel. And he's talking about an abomination of desolation that's going to appear in the temple. Now, in figure 31, we have a number of situations, any one of which fulfill this abomination of desolation. Early in the period of AD 60 through 69, an unqualified Jew whom Josephus identifies as Eliakim was appointed to the position of high priest. Josephus writes that by casting lots, Eliakim was chosen for the high priesthood, who was not only unworthy of the high priesthood, but that did not well know what the high priesthood was. Now, there's some very sharp statements about the election of this particular high priest during that period of time. It would appear that to place such a man as a high priest in the Holy of Holies of the temple would certainly fulfill the requirements of the abomination of desolation. This high priest and his staff failed to properly perform the daily sacrifices and other required temple duties, making a mockery of the holy ordinances. Now, in addition to the above, we have another case here where in AD 66, priests and zealots fought each other in the temple courts. Josephus reports that the floors swam with the blood of more than 8,000 who stabbed each other. Can you believe that? I would say that that would be an abomination. Many atrocities or abominations between the zealots and other Jewish factions occurred in the holy place between AD 66 and 70. Now, what is an abomination of desolation? The Hebrew word for abomination means an inward spiritual and moral revulsion at great wrong in religious matters. If you look at that definition, I think you can clearly see that the accounts that we've just looked at on figure 31 certainly qualify. Some scholars think also that the abomination of desolation could have been Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, who was a pagan king of Syria, who sacrificed a pig on the altar of the temple in 165 BC. But there's a problem with that, in that Jesus, in the scripture above, clearly states that what he is talking about is still an event future from when he is speaking in Matthew 24:15 through 21. So, more than likely, this sacrificing a pig on the altar is not the abomination of desolation that Jesus is talking about. It certainly was an abomination, but it's not the one that Jesus is talking about, because he's talking about a future event. Now, these are just a few of the scriptures that were fulfilled during the first century that we read in the Bible. And on figure 32, I've entitled this A Proper View of Matthew 24:34, which is at the top of the page, this generation, the generation Jesus was speaking to, that's this generation, shall not pass, would not all die, till all these things which Jesus had just finished talking about be fulfilled. Now, it's very important, looking at figure 32, that we view these scriptures and these prophecies in the proper manner. On the left-hand side of the chart, we see that these scriptures are written to those to whom Jesus was speaking at that time. So in order to get a proper perspective on it, we must view those scriptures through first century glasses. And then we see that their future prophecy was what Jesus was talking about. And that prophecy belongs to that particular group of people. A problem that we have in the church today is that the modern-day church is trying to view these scriptures and prophecies through 21st century glasses, but they are not our future prophecies. These are not prophecies for the church today. This is a critical element, and it's something that if you can renew your mind to this fact, when you go into the Bible and read it, you will be able to understand and comprehend what was happening, how it applied to the people during that time period, and then apply that to our living out here on earth in this particular, in our present generation. But those scriptures were not prophesied for our generation. Naturally, there is a meaning and an understanding for us today, but we must be careful that we view them, interpret them, and understand them and apply them in the manner in which I've indicated on figure 32, that they were prophecies for the people who lived during the time that Jesus was speaking to them on earth, and not to us today. Now, in future tapes, we'll be talking in greater depth on some of these particular fulfillments. I know there are probably still questions in your mind that you have about these, and hopefully we'll be able to clarify them to a greater extent on future tapes. But right now, I think this is a good general overview to show you that much of the scripture and the major bulk of the prophecies in the Bible have been fulfilled and do not apply to the church today.
I would like to bring to your attention an item of change that has been made in the material that you have just studied. The change that was made appears on figure 31, and you may have discovered that the audio on the tape does not match the information on figure 31. Figure 31, however, is correct. The name of the unqualified high priest that was installed by the casting of lots was Phanius, as it appears on figure 31, and not Eneachin, as the audio tape states.